This is Lyle Crist at the home of Mr. Jake Flickinger at 413 West Ely Street in Alliance, and I'm going to talk with Mr. Flickinger with regard to some of his recollections of industry and governance in Alliance as part of the oral history project. Would you first of all indicate, were you born here in Alliance?
I was born here in Alliance at 750 East Cambridge.
And when did you first become part of the employees at the American Steel Foundry?
The American Steel Foundry, I was first employed there in 1925.
Was this your first industrial work here in Alliance?
No, previous to that time I worked at the Morgan Engineering Company at the Structural Works.
And would you talk a little bit about the nature of your work when you both at Morgan's and then when you first affiliated American Steel?
Well, at the Morgan Engineering Company, it was hiring pretty many people at the time. They were repairing locomotives down there, and I got a job down there that I was working 6 nights a week, 12 hours a night. And from there, I went to the American Steel Foundry in 25. And in the meantime, in between, I'd worked up above in the machine shop for a while before I went to the American Steel.
And then at American Steel?
At American Steel, I had 40 years of service there.
Would you indicate the range of of your service, all that you did?
Well, I started in as a laborer, which you do at the plant. From there, I was promoted to core maker, which I held until I took the job as a supervisor in the core room.
Do you recall about how many employees there were at American Steel at that time?
Roughly at that time, I would say there was in the neighborhood of about 750, 800 possibly, when I first started there.
Did you have any training in any way other than just your own ability to do the job?
Well, I worked as a core maker for quite a number of years before I was promoted to supervisor.
Let's go back to the time that you were first worked with Morgan Engineering. Do you recall what the wages were then?
I served time on the machinist trade for 19 cents an hour at that time.
Was that enough to buy the groceries then?
At that time it would buy groceries. And when I moved to the American Steel Foundry, I started out for 39 cents an hour.
The industry and Alliance has grown in a number of ways since in the time span we're discussing. Go back to the time that you were either at Morgan or first at American Steel. Were these the major plants in Alliance?
The American Steel, the Morgan Engineering Company, and the Alliance Machine, plus the machine steel casting, and of course we had the McCaskey plant. And previous to that, the Reese brothers were in town too.
Now, elaborate on that a little bit, the Reese brothers.
The Reese brothers, they were in the manufacturing of oil tanks for railroad cars. And they later moved to Alabama from Alliance.
But they were here when you were first working with American Steel?
Well, they were here previous to that time. I no more got out of high school, and I got a job as a rivet heater down there for a short time.
And then have you had other plants in town that you work for?
Well, I worked at the pipe organ works. I did the electrical work on the consoles. I wired up the consoles for the pipe organs.
Now, was that before you went with Morgan?
Before I went to Morgan's. Again, that was 21 cents an hour. I threatened to quit. I got 22 cents an hour. Then I found out I could get the job at the structural shop, paid me a little more money, and I decided then that I wanted to learn the machinist trade.
Now, was this Hill Green Lane that you're referring to?
Hill Green Lane.
And where were they located at that time?
They were located at Market and Mechanic.
And your recollection, your work there, the workforce there was considerably smaller, of course.
I imagine we had in the neighborhood of about 20, 25 employees at that time.
Where was the Reeves Brothers? Where was that plant located?
The Reeves Brothers were located on Rush, where the present B&W plant is.
B&W was not in town at that time.
At that time, B&W was not in town.
Could you take one of the phases of work at American Steel and just recall the nature of the work? I know it's very clear to you what you did, but just to describe, for example, core making before you moved up to the supervisory work, just what was involved, what you did.
Well, in core making, you have sands that you work with. You have pattern boxes or core boxes, whatever you want to call them, and you put sand in them, and you use an air rammer, a hand rammer. You have to know how to rod them and nail them in one thing or another previous to the time they go into the oven to be baked. The cores will be baked then in the oven, and then they are inserted in molds in the foundry.
Is this operation still being carried on?
Yes, it's still being carried on.
There's been no different approach to it, no taking over of machines that formerly was hand operation?
Yes, they've done considerable of that. They've come into a process that they call shell cores. They put the sand in the box and it bakes the cores right in the machine, and they come right out of the core box baked. We have machines there. We use the hand ram mold drawbar cores, and there's some other cores that we hand ram that are now made by blowers, core blower machines.
The work at the plants, of course, would lead to unionization, the question of the labor force working together and various issues. Could you summarize a little bit something about the unionization at the plant?
Well, I'm sure it was in 1941 that we organized the American Steel Foundry plants. I happened to be one of the men that helped organize the plant, and I was financial secretary of the union for 10 years. And I took the treasurer's job for 2 years. And we've seen a lot of changes after the union got in through the grievance procedures. I will say this, that there's a lot of men came to us officers were saying they had a grievance. They'd read one paragraph in a contract, and you turn the page over, and they found out they didn't have a grievance. And as a union officer, we tried to explain that to them and settle it that way.
Did you see the role here as, in a sense, you were a bit of a mediator yourself? Is that it?
Well, I think that a union officer has to be just as fair as he possibly can and go according to the contract, which a lot.
Then you became a part of the supervisory staff in the 1940s. Would you? 1955. Would you? How many men did you have to supervise and the nature of the work?
Well, they was breaking me in as a foreman, and I had 2 days, and the night foreman got sick. And they put me on nights to run the department, and I had 32 men under me on nights. Now, I ran what we call the reclaim department in the core room at the same time. And, of course, later on, they put another man on nights with me. And then the gentleman that was sick got back, and I went back on daylight, and I worked pretty much straight daylight then as a supervisor.
And then your association with American Steel, you say it was a total of 40 years?
40 years.
When then did you retire?
I retired in 67. Of course, we had some years in there during the Depression that we didn't get any work, so they really didn't count that, I don't think.
Well, now, and that raised a question in my mind. Did the... Was the plant open all the time during the Depression years?
During the Depression years, they might call us in. Maybe I did get 3 days in a month, not on my occupation, on another job, like repairing something or doing some repair work or something like that. They would give you about 3 days a month.
recall any situations during the Depression years, either of your own circumstance or of someone else you knew, just to get an idea of how desperate things were?
Well, at that time, the American Steel Foundry done an awful nice thing. They got groceries in for the employees that worked at the plant who didn't have the finances to buy the groceries. They could go down there and get some groceries. And also coal. If they needed some coal, they would furnish the coal.
Was this a plant store?
That was an operation put on by the plant. Of course, as the work picked up then, they held so much out of your wages every 2 weeks.
During those years, did you work in any other places, the Depression years?
Yeah, I did a little work. I knew quite a few of the farmers, and I used to go out and help thrash, fill silos, and things like that on farms.
And were others who you knew at American Steel, were they getting work like that too?
There was two or three other men that I knew of that worked with me on the farms.
Then, in this whole span of years, you have some recollections about Alliance Industry in general, and I think probably there's some other specific plants that maybe we hadn't mentioned yet.
Yeah, there was the Woodges Engineering Company, which was located at Park and Patterson, and there was Transjoan Williams, and of course the B&W plant come in later years. The Alliance Manufacturing, at one time that was a pottery where the Alliance Manufacturing was. Then there was a Vitra's China located on Mahoning.
Now, about what years are we talking now?
We're talking in the 20s at that time, and maybe a little before.
Well, during all this time, you branched out and got involved in some other things in this town too, didn't you?
Well, I kind of got into politics along about 1948. Well, I ran 2 years before that as a councilman at large. I got beat out. 2 years later, I come out and ran for first ward councilman. And I was lucky enough to be elected, and I was in city council for 10 years.
Working in the city council with a group of people from different segments of the city, I suppose working with them was a little different than working with the men in the shop.
Yes, it was quite a bit different. Fortunately, I was working with a couple of men from the plant, Mr. O'Gline, Harry Wheeler, plant engineer, and I think at that time the council really done their work while they were in council. To me, there was a certain amount of prestige went along with the job at that time. It wasn't the money that we derived from working there.
In that time that you were a member of council, was there any particular project that was started or underway that of particular significance?
Well, the groundwork had been laid for a new reservoir and electrification of the water department. And Dr. Morgan, who was president of the council, put me on the water committee. And I served on the water committee with Mr. Wheeler, Fred Russell, and myself. And there was somebody else on. I don't recall today. I think it was Oscar Davis. And of course, we acquire the land for the lower Deer Creek, which was quite a lengthy process, and the electrification of the waterworks was another big project. And the chairman, who was Mr. Wheeler, had me work on a program where we were going to change the meters in all homes about every 7 years. We'd take so many each year for 7 years, and that way the meters would be in good service, and then we'd start right back over in another 7 years and start to change them again.
What were the specific years that you were a member of City Council?
I went into city council in 48, and my last year was 56.
Since 1956, 57, in that general time, you've been active in the community in many ways. You've kept your interest up in all things, haven't you?
Yes, while I was in city council, I also served as a member of the board of the directors of the YMCA. Of course, my work at the shop, I couldn't attend the meetings regular, so they asked me if it would be all right if they'd make me an honorary member of the board, which was okay with me because their meetings were held at noon and we had quite a few changeovers at noon with some of the big machines, blowers down there. And it was impossible for me to get to the meetings.
Go back a few years again now, and back to American Steel and the end product of it all at American Steel. The what was something of the range of the product that came out of the shop?
Well, we was mostly in railroad work. We made bolsters, side frames, knuckles, jaw bars. At a later time, we made fifth wheels for these big tractors. And we also made some teeth for steam shovels out of special metal that you couldn't touch with a drill. And we experimented with tire molds down there at one time. We had a gentleman by the name of Mr. Donaldson from the Machine Steel Casting was in. And we experimented on making tire molds.
The other plants in town, well, let's take American Steel for instance, or Transit Williams for instance, they were making railroad equipment too, weren't they?
Yeah, they were making some pins out there and some plates that I know of.
I guess what I'm trying to get at is whether was Alliance known as a railroad industry town at that time?
More so, Morgan Engineering Company Alliance Machine was more noted than the American Steel Foundry. We were noted. The American Steel Foundry is a large company. They had plants at Granite City, East St. Louis, Newark, New Jersey, the Alliance plant, Sharon, PA, and there was another plant in Franklin.
These all of the plants that you just mentioned, are they all still active?
The Newark plant I don't think is active anymore. The one at Franklin and the East St. Louis plant is no longer in operation. But in the meantime, the American Steel Foundry's got into diversified industries, car wheels and other stuff. They did have the Cincinnati Milling Machine Company at one time. Now, whether they still have that or not, I don't know.
You were born in Alliance.
Yeah, I was born in Alliance at 750 East Cambridge Street.
And as you were growing up as a young fella, what was your first job?
Well, my first job was sweeping out a grocery store.
What store?
Well, it belonged to people by the name of Spiegel's on South Webb at 419 South Webb. And I think roughly I was in the third grade of school at the time. And of course, I carried newspapers. I had the first Canton repository route in Alliance back
That's
in 1913.
now was that can you where did that route take you?
That route took me up Liberty Street on Cambridge and Summit, Grant, and a couple of other streets up there. Wasn't a very large route. They just started a paper over here in this town.
Did they have an office over here?
No, the papers came over by streetcar, and there'd be two men come over at the end of the month to collect the money.
Where was the streetcar terminal?
The streetcar would throw them off at the corner of Liberty and Main.
And the streetcar came down Main Street.
Yeah, the streetcar came down Main. Of course, it would be the car that ran from Canton to Salem.
And then would go on through Alliance to
Yeah.
Salem. After the repository, then what?
Well, I continued working in a grocery store, helped dress chickens out on the weekend, and delivered groceries in town here with a horse and sled. And along about 1919, I think it was 1919, for about 6 weeks, we delivered with a horse and sled. And of course, in the summer months, we used a little pickup truck to deliver groceries, a Model T truck.
And the store, what was the store?
The store that I delivered groceries for that we used the sled was Hartman's Grocery Store.
Where was it?
That was at the corner of Garwood and South Webb.
Have any specific recollections of Main Street? Any buildings that are not there now, or that stood out to you and in your mind as you were growing up?
Well, there was one building in particular. It was setting where the present First National Bank is. It was sort of a 5 and 10 cent store run by people by the name of Diebold out of Maslin. And I recall very plain that when they tearing the building down, there was some toys laid around there, and they told me I could pick up the toys and take them home. And, of course, the First National Bank at that time was across the street from the City Hall. And the Industrial Bank was at the corner of Seneca and Main. They were in there after the post office moved out, which was located at Seneca and Main, at the southeast corner.
Then, if you were to continue west on Main Street, any specific recollections?
Well, I remember Martin's Confectionery Store. There was a piano store immediately in back of that on the square. And this little piano over here came from there. And next to that was a saloon right across the alley from the City Hall.
A saloon across the alley from City Hall. Now that sounds interesting. not too sanitary over there. Now, I don't suppose anybody from City Hall spent much time in the saloon, though. Well, we get on with the history. Then the trolley or the streetcar, I did want to ask another question about that. How often did it come into town?
The streetcars ran every hour to Canton. They come into Alliance on the hour, the same from Salem. And they would run on over to Canton, back to Alliance, and back down to Salem. Of course, you had a half-hour service from Alliance to Sebring. And I forget what the service was from downtown Alliance to Mount Union. They also had a streetcar that ran the north end of town, down North Union, out Vine Street, and into Rock Hill Park. They stopped right at the entrance of Rock Hill Park at Vine and Rock Hill.
Sometimes wonder if we're any further ahead now than we were then. That sounds like a pretty efficient way to get around. Well, Jake, is there anything else you think of that you might like to just share on this particular tape that we've not touched in any way about the plant, the politics, or the city in any way? Perhaps you have a thought about your political philosophy.
Well, I feel this way. I've worked with Republicans and I worked with Democrats in city council. And I had no trouble. In fact, I had more trouble with my own party than I had with the opposite party. And I've always felt this way. If it's good for me, it's good for you. If it's no good for me, it's no good for you. You have a certain amount of money to operate on, and that's what you have to look out for.
Well, that's very fine. And I appreciate this chance to chat with you. We've been talking to Mr. Jake Flickinger, 413 West Ely Street, Alliance, about his career in Alliance. Lifetime career here of rich, rewarding ways of growing up in town, being a part of the industrial scene, a member of city council, and we appreciate this chance to have it as a part of the Oral History Project. Thank you very much, Mr. Flickinger.
You're welcome.